Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking about Season 5, Episode 8, entitled Hard Home. They did a lot of globetrotting this time.
We went
all over the place.
Everywhere you can go.
We didn't go south very
much. Yeah, they didn't go north.
I mean, I guess they went to Marine, which is south, but...
It's a cold episode. It brought in some cold wind to the Midwest. I had to get my hoodie out of the closet.
Yeah, no kidding.
Those fucking White Walkers, man.
They're everywhere. Can't be stopped. What'd you think of it?
It's incredible. I was struggling to think about what else happened in the episode other than the shit at Hardhome, because that was just amazing.
And yeah, it was cool.
Like, there's this, I'm going crazy from just a show watcher and a book reader standpoint, because, that's by far the most White Walker we've ever seen anywhere in anything, books included. And it makes you think, like, you know, when those guys are just swarming over the walls and stuff, it's with just a couple hundred of them, and now they have who knows how many thousands.
I like that they combine that with the scenes of Ramsay and Roose planning, talking about how they're able to withstand a siege. It's like, it's kind of a cool little parallel there.
There's a lot of irony, like even Dany and Tyrion sitting over in Meereen just having this debate about how you can rule Westeros and how you win people's. And it's just really funny to see all this scheming in context of this going north of the wall.
Yeah.
It's like, it's incredible. And the action, I think they've taken several steps back as far as the action's concerned in this season, but, maybe they were saving it all for this. Maybe they had their A-team just spending months and months doing that, because I thought the effects were seamless. The dragon kicking ass was seamless. Valyrian steel works as good as dragon glass. That was...
I saw that sword thing coming.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, as soon as the first sword shatters, I'm like, oh, Valyrian steel, not going to shatter. Mm-hmm. Totally got it.
But also, it just shatters the White Walkers, too.
Yeah.
Which there's been a lot of speculation. A lot of book readers have been wondering if, you know, dragon glass versus the Valyrian steel, and some of the theories about it, how, you know, the reason it was a lost art is because it was forged with like dragon fire, some crazy shit like that.
Hmm. Okay.
It seems like it's all coming true.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. I mean, I don't know what else to say about the episode, because all I want to talk about is the,
how cool the fight was.
Yeah. The crazy raid zombies.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's talk about them.
Okay.
That sounds like fun.
What did you... So you're a zombie fan.
Yeah.
Where do you rank these zombies with the greats?
These are more like the Evil Dead Army of Darkness style zombies, right? Like, they can basically be skeletons if they need to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw that with Jojen and his fireball team.
Right.
So they're pretty good. I'm a fan of Army of Darkness kind of skeleton warriors.
Yeah, it seems like the only way to stop them is to either burn them, which I'm surprised we didn't see. John is the one that cracked that code the first time. Set them on fire. I'm kind of surprised we didn't see a little bit more of that. But the other thing is, unlike like Walking Dead style zombies, it doesn't seem like brain shots do anything to them. You have to kind of beat them down. You have to destroy them entirely, or they just keep coming.
Sure. The giant was good for that. He stepped on a couple that was pretty
The giant was
awesome.
Amazing. And I was really afraid that he was going to die and turn into a blue eye, and then like, what the fuck to do with that? But like, maybe you just need to get a bunch more giants on your side.
That'd be cool.
They killed one last year. It's a shame.
Yeah, when they were in the hut, the big ass hut where the giant was sitting down, and he was trying to convince him to go join up with the cause. I was worried that was the same giant
guys.
Is it? Okay.
Well, there was two of them there. The old one, which I think the old one is the one that assaulted the gates, and the young one.
Okay.
But one of them got killed by a big scorpion thing from the... I don't want to say all giants look alike.
That is totally racist.
It's speciest.
It is, yeah.
But they kind of do. Like, yeah, you caught... I kind of suspected that. I was like, I wonder if it's the same guy. But then I'm like, wait, there was like... I know there was two. Maybe there was three. And I thought one died. And that pissed the other one off. And then he died. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, there was a lot of cool stuff in there. I mean, I always like wonder about the futility of fighting these things.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, Tormund's going crazy. He's raging out and he's killing a whole bunch of them. But do they get right back up? Like, can you dismember him enough to keep him down, or does White Walker Lord just recreate them? Like,
I don't know. I honestly don't know. This is it's kind of blazing new territory. My thought is, I've never seen one like reassemble, you know, like Evil Dead style, like to just pull back together. Yeah. I think once you get them to a certain like dismemberment point, there's no coming back.
Okay.
And like, you cut one in half, then like, you know, you got one half that's still coming at you. But I don't know, like, maybe this, if I've never seen a headless one fight either. So I think like just destroying the head might kill him too.
Maybe.
But I mean, there's gotta be some significance in the fact that their eyes are all glowing blue. Like, that's gotta be the seed of their power, right?
I suppose so. Yeah. I mean, the dead don't arise until their eyes turn blue, so.
Yeah. And there is something kind of, I was kind of wondering, like, if you get bit by one, you know, you always want to go there with the zombie lore, or do you just have to be killed by one, or do
I think
you
have to be killed, yeah.
But I don't know, man. It seems like that guy just, like, raises his hands, and that's what makes it happen. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, but all those people were dead, right?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. You have to
I don't
be
think
dead
he can take
with.
A living soul just by raising his hands.
Well, he did the baby, though.
He touched it on the forehead.
He touched
or
it
something.
On the cheek. So, like, this, I just wonder, like, if we've never seen a. Well, I mean, like I said, we've never seen a living transformation, but we did.
Kind of, yeah.
So, I don't know if you have to be willing, or like you have to have tapioca brains like babies do, but. Yeah.
It's like a Jedi mind trick.
Yeah. There's no real answer as far as I can tell. You know, this is all just, we have to see how it goes. Now, does that bother you? That you don't really understand the way these guys work yet?
A little bit. Like, once I saw the Valyrian steel, I was like, why do they need dragon glass? Like, if this can kill them, why is dragon glass so important?
Well, there's not that much. I mean, I would assume there's more obsidian in the world than there is Valyrian steel.
I would think so.
By a long shot. Yeah. So
it looks like they did have just a ton of dragon glass, like a bag full of it.
Yeah, there's been some people sending us corrections starting last week, that says that it seemed like it was a bag full. And I don't know how I missed that satchel.
I missed it, too.
I don't know. No, confirmed. There's a whole shit ton. Now it's all left at Hardhome now.
Uh-huh, sure.
So whoever buried that for John and Sam to find, thank you very much, but we're leaving it all behind.
By far the coolest thing in that battle was those kids.
Oh, that was
those
creepiest.
Creepy ass White Walker kids.
I thought you'd like the waterfall of walkers, because you always liked that in The Walking Dead, but this
it was
is
cool,
added
yeah.
to like the waterfall of walkers never seemed to work out for the Walking Dead walkers. It's like,
yeah, they just
an impact
land on
like
their
that
heads
would kill
then,
them.
Yeah.
But these things just, I thought that was horrific. Just hundreds of these bodies pouring over. And then getting right back up and coming at you. And how fast they move, too.
Sure. They run
and,
at
and they
you.
Can
yeah.
use weapons. Like, mm-hmm. these are, I don't know. I mean, I'm not as steeped in zombie lore as you, but these guys rocketed to number one of the bullet as far as terrifying zombies, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty scary.
Because they got all the other tricks. They'll hold you down and eat you alive. They'll pull you apart.
Apparently so.
But they wield cleavers, and you can't kill with blunt force trauma.
I have to guess that lady's coming back. The leader of this wildling clan or whoever this was. She's got to come back later in the series, right?
Like, yeah, that was weird. Come back in the sense of like blue eyes, because...
No. She did come back that way.
Yeah.
But I'm saying eventually I think she's going to catch up with John or somebody. We're going to see her again. That's my guess.
They were giving her so much screen time that I'm thinking, are they going to set her up as like a potential love interest for Jon Snow or for someone
wondering.
Else? Or is she going to be just like a prominent leader? Because they've decimated the leadership of the wildlings at this point. I mean, even the Lord of the Bones is dead now. So you've got Tormund and this giant guy. And I was like, oh, maybe she'll either be a romantic interest, or maybe she'll just be this fierce warrior chieftain that we can start to identify as, like, when she's standing in a group of wildlings and this is like,
she's in charge.
Yeah. You need characters like that. But then they just killed her.
Sure.
So I can't imagine why, but I don't have any emotional tie to her. So if she shows up, you know, the end of this year or sometime next year in a big White Walker battle, it's like, okay, if she's going to have like a, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, it feels a little weird as a mini arc.
If it's in the context of her kids, but I felt like her kids were one of the dead. Did you feel like that too?
No. She put her kids on a boat.
I thought so too, but I thought there was a scene where she panned over and the blonde girl was there. And I don't know whether that was why they were trying to communicate that's why she couldn't fight them, because she saw her kids there. She was like almost hallucinating something. But there, I don't know. So it would be the one emotional thing they could do is have the dead mother attack the children. In the future.
Yeah.
That would be pretty horrific.
That would be.
I would. That's the worst case scenario for a small child. Your dead parent coming after you. Like a night. That's a nightmare.
Is that worse than Pet Cemetery?
I gotta think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your
mom or dad zombified trying to kill you and eat you is the worst thing that can possibly happen to you.
Yeah.
Before you turn 13.
Sure. If you're qualifying it with that, yes, then you're right.
Yeah.
What else do you want to talk about? Danny and Tyrion had a lot of good stuff this episode.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, we went all over the place. So,
were you that? Did you feel like that there is a little flirty between them, those two?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
I was surprised at how kind of flirty it was.
I didn't get that. Why did you say that?
It's my intuition. I could break it down if we had the camera here and show you the things that I think. The
laser pointer.
Yeah. But other than that, if I can't sell you on that one, what did you think? Did you think Danny looked really haggard?
Haggard?
And I wasn't sure if it was just the lighting or they're just showing that this is like the weight of all this is getting to her.
I didn't notice it, but, you know, maybe on second viewing, that'll pop out.
Yeah, because she's always kind of young and fresh face. And I thought that I was seeing some like lines around her eyes or maybe circles under her eyes. And I thought that was kind of, if it was deliberate, it kind of shows her, you know, living with the decision she's made with marrying this goofball and opening up the slave pits again, or fighting pits. She doesn't even know there's slave pits yet.
Yeah.
What did you think of the decision to exile Jorah again? And then Jorah's subsequent decision.
It happened in a really weird way, right? Like, yeah. Tyrion basically, once again, saves his life, but like, he probably had an opportunity there to help him a little bit more than he did, I felt. Like, just saying, yeah, exile him.
I don't know. I thought that he read that correctly as an audition. And he had to be even-handed in his... I mean, he saved Jorah's life, potentially, but, you know... And then, I'm not sure what the hell's going on with Jorah.
He's coming back to the fighting pits.
But why? He's
to impress the queen.
It's the same plan. His plan B is same as plan A, only without the gift.
I think he's going to try and prove himself once again. I don't know that the guy knows how to quit.
Here's what would save this for me, because otherwise Jorah just looks like the saddest of all sad sacks. if he like blows the lid off the whole slavery thing.
Okay.
Like, he fights the thing and is like, you, all these men that you know, you think are free, they're all slaves, and I've exposed the corruption. Maybe if he's like a whistleblower,
Jorah the whistleblower. I like it.
But man, the thing that's damning is that he did not once tell her that he used to spy on her. I thought that was the.
Yeah, Tyrion makes a case as to why that wasn't such a horrible thing, doesn't he?
I think he says that he loved, you know, essentially that he's in love with you. But I think that kind of surprised Tyrion. And I think once I think that Tyrion didn't know what he was going to say, and he was asking questions to kind of establish it. And when he heard that, it's like, well, what else can I do? I mean, like, look, dude, you had many. It wasn't like, you know, you saved your life and then 2 days later, Barristan came and outed you. You had. I mean, that's the other thing. This show continues to hammer home that we've been spending years with these characters, even though it's fucking up some other stuff. So he spent potentially over a year, maybe 2 years in her service and never found the time to confess.
Yeah.
That seems like bullshit.
Sure.
Seems like he brought it on himself.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame Danny at all for banishing him again.
But why not? I just don't know. He's got to have a plan beyond just I want to fight in front of her. I mean... Again,
or he could just be fucking desperate. I mean, that's well within a character's arc.
Maybe he just wants to die.
It's not like a heroic, awesome thing that's going to turn out like you want it to, but it's well within
sure.
a fairly unreasonable person's arc, right?
Like, when he first went outside the city and he looked up at that big tower, I thought he was going to do something like pull up a chair and just wait, no food and drink, like Fight Club style, until like he's just going to literally dive exposure out there, or she's going to let him in the city, whichever happens first, and he doesn't care.
Hmm. You know who else is looking haggard?
One Cersei Lannister.
Oh man, I really enjoyed seeing that, I gotta say.
Yeah, no,
sucking water off a dungeon floor,
getting slapped with a wooden spoon as she threatens the woman with death.
I love it.
I mean, she's consistent. You got to give her that.
She is. Yeah, she's relentless with her idiocy.
What's going on to Tyrells during this whole time?
I don't know. We didn't see them at all this time.
It's kind of surprising, but
yeah, you got to figure that Olenna is doing her thing, trying to figure out a way to get Margaery out, probably with Littlefinger's help.
Was more than half of this episode Hard Home? Was it like a 20-40 like split or a 30-30 split?
It felt like it was probably about 30-30.
I've been watching the clock, and it's a bad habit with Game of Thrones to see, like, you know, how far are we in the episode, to see if I can kind of guess at what's to come. But like, I remember I looked at it was like 9:18 or something, and that's the last time I... Which is a testament to how good the episode was.
Yeah.
What else? Like you said, you mentioned Sansa and
Reek.
Reek.
Don't call him Theon.
That's developing in its sweet time.
Yeah, it is. I mean, she found out today that, you know, her brothers aren't really dead.
What is that? What's going to what's going to come of that?
I don't know what she can do with that information.
I don't either.
She's locked up in a fucking
But the
tower.
Show treats it as significant.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like some kind of hope rekindled with her?
Could be. Sure.
Is she going to use it to fuck over Tyrion? Or not Tyrion. Reek. I'm just going to call him Reek because I can't remember Theon.
So is she going to tell Ramsay about it?
Yeah, she can tell Ramsay just to get an act of petty revenge.
What good does that do her, though?
But what else can she do with the information?
I know. That's why I'm saying I have no idea what she's going to do, because it doesn't seem to do her any good in the situation she's in.
She doesn't have a candle. I mean, I'm trying to think. It's like, so if she could get this information out to someone like Brienne, and Brienne could contact Stannis... I mean, no one that we're talking about knows where they're actually at, but like, you know, and Bran's way beyond in touch. So,
yeah.
But I wonder if someone like Stannis could use a Rickon Stark to get legitimacy, to get the Northerners to like rebel against the Boltons.
Maybe.
I just can't see how that actually would connect and happen.
Yeah. Maybe they haven't laid all the track for that yet. They're just starting to.
But that's one, I mean, using it to fuck over Reek or somehow getting that to help Stannis is the only thing. But it's like, man, I don't know if they're going to be, I don't know if this is going to be a feeling that sticks with me throughout the next few episodes, but I feel like it's going to be really tedious watching everything happening down south and over in Essos, knowing what's going on north. It's like, you know, if you're watching the Super Bowl and suddenly you go away and you watch the kids playing tiddlywinks in the corner. Oh no, I'm really invested in, like, look at the skillful way, the intrigue of the tiddlywinks. It's just such small stakes bullshit.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
Martin's resolved that for 20 years by just not doing any of this. This is the main. You don't even know this other thing. This is just the opening act. But now it's like we've seen the main band. The opening act's going to come back out after a couple songs, and we're going to boo them off stage. Get the fuck off of here, Lannisters.
The thing is, I am more invested from a character standpoint. What's going on in the South?
Yeah,
so that helps. That helps a lot.
But it's going to be weird to have this big high stakes. And again, we've known it's always been there, but now you see, and you just see the scope and the magnitude of it.
Well, I expect everybody to just run like rats south, you know?
I mean, yeah, this has got to...
So the battle's going to come south.
But what do you do if you're the Lannisters or the Tyrells or you're the Martells? And you get the ravens from Castle Black saying, like, no shit, there's like 500,000 dead bodies and God knows how many of these White Walker assholes assaulting the wall, and we're the only thing that stands between you. It's like,
send a raven back, don't lose.
Yeah, like, okay, well, you know, let us know if you need help with the Grumpkins and Snarks or whatever. I mean, unless you see this with your own eyes, it just would sound like the ravings of a wild man.
Sure.
Oh, the 21 year old recently elected Lord Commander under fishy circumstances with the old Lord Commander dying of mutiny is suddenly saying, I mean, I don't know. It's
it'll be interesting to see how much people believe and what they do about it.
Yeah.
I wonder if Sansa can use her information to not help Littlefinger, but if Littlefinger could do anything with that information.
Yeah.
Like, what could he do with Bran and Rickon?
I don't know. Yeah, that's true, because he might, I mean, as soon as he gets done checking up on whatever he's doing, I mean, he told Cersei that he could march the Knights of the Vale on the Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what he could do with that information. Or if he just rode north to check on Roos one last time, I assume he'd be welcome at Winterfell.
I would guess so, yeah.
Let's also talk about how high the snow is and how you can't get through. And then we go to Hardhome, and until the White Walkers showed up, it seemed like it was roughly Ohio-ish weather up there.
Also, they offer them farmland. What the fuck are they going to do with farmland?
Well, I mean...
when have they ever farmed?
You dream of spring. You dream of spring.
Okay.
I think they know how.
That's like asking the Inuits to set up a farm.
I bet they could. I bet they could.
They would need some help, is all I'm saying. They would need some learning and
don't
some
we
help.
All? I'm starting to wonder, like, maybe Westeros is just going to be fucked. Like that.
So it all just ends in a big snowstorm.
That you're gonna there's gonna fight this endless skirmishing action further and further south until you know Dany comes over with Drac, because you know. You think about the perfect weapon to fight these would be like a flamethrower.
It'll be Dorin, and Jon Snow back to back on the pier in Dorne
on the tip of the snake's nose. They've all crawled up to the snake's nose or in a tippy tippy of that. It's all
they're
over.
Fighting, they're fighting White Walkers off as they climb up,
and then the dragon
swoops in. Tyrion rides a dragon in and picks them both up, and they fly over to Meereen,
like the eagles in Lord of the Rings.
Uh huh. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean that's one possibility. Also. I kind of got a little thrill over Dany talking about breaking the wheel because, I've talked about how my optimistic take for all this is that feudalism gets flushed down the toilet and they have some kind of parliamentary representative form of government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one interpretation of breaking the wheel.
Sure. Yeah.
What other interpretation could there be?
The darker one?
Just fire and blood?
Yeah, pretty much. You're the butcher or you're the meat.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That sounds a little ominous coming from her, frankly.
Yeah.
Knowing that she has dragons and potentially the power to actually go in and break that wheel.
She's talking about the three large dragons, even though she only has two of the shrimpier ones locked in a dungeon. Do you think we will see the dragons before the end of the season? Like, will she figure something out? What are your odds on that?
I feel like they got to go to the dragons at least one more time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they started off the season, or did they end last season? I can't remember exactly when they did the Chaining of the Dragons.
Right.
Was that...
Honestly, I can't remember either if that was the start of this season or the end of last. It was the end of last, because it was called The Children, and it was all about her chaining them up. That's my story.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm wrong, send me... I will look it up my own self. It's like within seconds of this podcast being over, but sure, email and tell me I'm wrong.
Well, that might shoot my theory with some holes then.
Why? What theory was it? I wasn't sure.
I was going to say if they're going to kind of bookend it with some dragon power. But
Well, it would be a like the dragons being chained last season, the dragons being unchained at the end of this season. That would be kind of interesting symmetry.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Is there anything else? I don't think so.
I don't think we've left a plot, except for Ramsay's... 20
He's
good 20, men.
Yeah. What's that all about?
I don't know.
He's going to infiltrate the ranks of Stannis' army.
He does seem to... I'm trying to think of how he could use trickery and deceit. If he said, hey, I'm a northern lord, and like I'm a representative of the Umbers, and I've got 20 men, and he just lies to Stannis' face, and then as soon as everybody goes to sleep, he just starts slitting throats.
Mm-hmm.
But Stannis has 6,000 men.
Yeah, that's, I guess, a significant number. I don't know. The numbers I've been hearing are so much bigger than that. That
yeah.
Like, I hear 100,000. I go, okay, that's a lot of men.
Yeah.
That's a shitload of men.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear 6,000, you're like, Not so sure about that army.
It's a lot more than the Boltons apparently have, and they're also mounted. But again, 20. Okay, it's a small number, but you know what's smaller? 20. 20 is smaller than 6,000.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Like, what is... Let me check the math on that real quick. Like 60,000 divided by 20. So, yes, exactly. Ramsay will have to kill a Spartan Last Stand worth of Baratheon soldiers
with every one of his dudes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a reverse Sparta.
Sure. They'll fight in the shade. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that's it then, yeah?
Yeah. If you got some feedback, and I'm sure you do, send it to GameOfThrones@baldmove.com. You can also talk with us about spoilers or non-spoilers, whatever. We got threads for both on our forums at forums.baldmove.com. Keep up with all our releases on Facebook.com/baldmove and on Twitter @baldmove.
Yeah, that's it.
Probably getting a lot of it. I was just looking before we sat down, and there's like subjects like, holy shit, oh my God.
Oh man, it's already coming.
Holy
in.
Hell, White Walked.
People are just dumping feedback off of a cliff.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's what my inbox looks like.
Great.
Right. So,
well, have fun sorting through that. We will see you guys on Tuesday for the full cast. And until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. See ya.